This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. And this is the first time I think we've had a pre-call bump in music about the call. So we've got Ed on in Haddam, who's got a question for us. Morning, Ed. You there?
Is it Stu? It's Stu in Haddam.
Oh, it's Sue in Haddam. Okay.
Okay, here's a weird story.
Yeah.
12 years ago, I gave a talk at the Smithsonian while I was a fellow there about an article I published on the first use of computers for romantic date matching.
Okay.
And it was so funny. I published it previously at the Stanford Alumni Magazine. It was so funny they asked me to do a podcast a few months later.
Awesome.
I did a podcast. I read it. They put it on their website. That's in 2007.
Yeah.
6 months ago, my wife and I are visiting our son in Guanajuato, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
We walk into his apartment. My wife plugs her iPhone 6 into the wall to charge the battery.
Sure.
And she hollers, "Come here quick, Stu. You're on the phone." And in speaker mode is me reading that article. Now, we didn't hear the very first second minute of what all this was, but somebody had also edited and put music in from a singing marching band I helped start 50 years ago. I mentioned in the article.
I love it.
So somebody had gone to the website of the band, which is mentioned in the article, lifted some music. In fact, yes, we have no bananas.
Sure.
Edited that in to this podcast. And we thought it sounded like they wanted us to subscribe to Radiolab or something.
Wow.
I spent weeks trying to get Radiolab to answer and tell me what's going on. They said it was never on their shows. I've had other people ask, how the heck did this happen?
Yeah. So your wife just plugged in and you the podcast started playing. Like somehow Apple and Siri knew something you didn't know.
Yeah, a podcast I made in 2007.
Yeah.
And then somebody edited and put music in. It was pretty clever, but
yeah.
Who the heck did it?
Well, that's a pretty interesting mystery. Obviously, if you're working, it's a Smithsonian, right? So, I mean, the podcast, somebody must have found the information interesting. The fact that it got into your wife's podcast like that is a little bizarre, right? That's the thing that I find the most interesting. Editing your talk, especially if it was good and funny, you know, that doesn't surprise me so much because you could find some kid intern at a radio station or wherever they're playing with the podcast do that, I guess, that might have really liked your show. Maybe you've got a super fan, you know?
Well, it was podcast on the IEEE Electronics and Electrical Engineers Association Computers Annals of Computing magazine in 2007. So somebody read that.
Yeah.
Picked up the reference to the singing marching band. There aren't many 100-piece singing marching bands.
Correct.
Playing 20s tunes. And splice that in. And then what for?
Well, I mean, you've clearly made, you know, something that sounds more than extremely boring, insanely boring, very interesting, to the point
where... Why should an article about the history of computing be boring to you guys?
Well, I'm just kidding with you. We're in the business. I'm just giving you a hard time. You've obviously... Somebody is a fan of your work, clearly. I don't know how it ended up on your wife's podcast to play automatically, though. That's the creepy thing to me. Well,
come out on her iPhone, and she thought somebody was trying to sell her to buy a subscription to something, but since we didn't hear the opening of it, we didn't know.
Yeah, that's the craziest thing. It's almost like some sort of marketing algorithm connected you, Stu, and your wife in some way to knowing that you're going to be really interested in this podcast. I don't know. It's a great story, but obviously you got a super fan. Is there a way for you to share your podcast that our audience might want to hear? Because the history of computers with the singing marching band edited up like that. Well, do you have it?
That was in the IEEE Annals of History of Computing magazine in 2007. I do have a book coming out in Chinese this month.
In Chinese?
I don't think that'll have many fans.
No, but do you have access to that podcast?
I don't think so.
Well, you must. It must be on your wife's phone somewhere. Or were you not able to get it again?
I guess she didn't know how to get it. She's pretty good on stuff, but...
I'd love to have it as a link so people could hear the history of computers with some sort of singing marching band as background music. I mean, it sounds interesting.
What we did was we had 50 college males and females that we had a survey sort of, and then they wrote this in machine language with the IBM 650.
Yeah.
And they just... IBM was using SOAP and case of SOAP, SOAP 2. These guys wrote in machine language, and we didn't have a really good algorithm. They just sorted the two closest, and then when you got down to the last two in the pot, a 19-year-old freshman player in the Stanford marching band was matched up with a 31-year-old divorcee with three kids. But they were the only two left. In any case, it was a genuine. They ran the 650 8 hours. It had a 2K memory drum.
Oh, yep.
You know, fill the whole room with air conditioning, and these guys picked the lock. Their class were given 5 minutes per pair use the whole semester.
Wow.
Well, that wouldn't run anything. So they ran all night long with their pass key or their lock picks and ran the whole thing. So it was quite funny.
Yeah.
And interesting, but...
Clearly. Somebody must have used it in some sort of presentation. They found the information, found it as funny as you did, and then modified it. And these days, kids are... So think about it, Ed. Stu, think about it. These kids these days will steal content like crazy, right? So content, as far as they're concerned, if it's out there, it's theirs. So somebody found it and edited it up and kind of put it together as some sort of super fan. Probably did a presentation on, you know, how we even survived computing back then. And... made it into something that's out there. And then how it got to your Siri and Apple is the scariest part. There's got to be some serious marketing algorithms out there that made it come up. Because we talk about this all the time. Is your phone listening to you, right? Is your Android phone, is your Apple phone, maybe the phone...
I'm talking to you on an original flip phone.
Oh, okay. But your wife had an Apple phone, though. Maybe somehow...
Yeah, she's got an i6.
Yeah, maybe the perfect combination of margaritas and your name and marching band and IEEE came up and boom, podcast. I don't know how that happened at all.
Anyway, guys, I thought somebody might have an answer how it comes out in Mexico on my wife's cell phone.
I have no idea. It's got to be powerful. The power of the algorithm.
But thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Ed. If you actually have that podcast eventually, if you find it, send it over. I'd love to hear it.
I've got one about the 14 months I spent at the South Pole with the Soviet expedition. That's on some guy's podcast. He says I had 500 people listen to it last week.
You're like the Dos Equis man.
I don't know, but anyway, guys, right. Thanks for the...
Yeah, thank you, Stu. That was a great story.
Right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Computers, man. Your stuff's just popping up all over the place. You never know.
Well, it's like your phone, because they share the data.
Yeah.
You can be walking down the street in New York and all these things coming up, all the restaurants that's close by.
Yep. Yeah. You might like this. You might like that. You might like this. You might like that. That's the world we're living in. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got three lines open for you. We're here till 11 o'clock, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Have you ever been sim-jacked? We had Matt Miller talking about how he was sim-jacked and his entire cloud life was kind of thrown in turmoil, and they tried to steal $25,000 out of his bank account to buy bitcoins, to buy fake money. And did you ever have anything that happened to you? Be interesting to hear. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's get right to your calls. We've got Bob in Ellington first. Hey, Bob. Bob, you there?
Yes, I am.
What's up, sir?
So I have an HP Pavilion.
Yep.
Many years old, and an HP PhotoSmart 8450 printer.
All right.
That stopped talking to each other about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
The printers stopped talking to each other?
The printer and the laptop, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Are they wireless?
No. And I have been able to prove that hooking up a separate laptop to the printer through the cable works just fine.
Okay.
So the did the printer get a new IP? Or does it have the same IP? Is it static?
Well, it's hardwired.
It's hardwired.
It's hardwired, exactly.
USB. USB, right?
Oh, it's USB.
USB, exactly.
Oh, okay.
So I've run all the online diagnostics.
Yep.
With no help. Contacted through the chat, HP through the chat,
mm-hmm.
and surprise, surprise, I'm outside my warranty.
Yeah. So they want a credit card.
So what I would suggest is that you go to HP and find that model of printer mm-hmm. and download the latest drivers, then go into your control panel, find programs and features, and find the HP drivers, that suite, and uninstall the whole thing.
Then reboot.
Reboot, and start that new driver program all over again. Wait until it tells you to plug it in. Make sure you unplug it before you
start. Right.
And so don't plug it into.
I've done some of that unsuccessfully.
Don't plug it into the same USB port.
I can try it again. So usually you get the message that says those drivers are already installed on the. It's a Windows 10 system.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to remove those drivers.
Okay.
So when you uninstall,
I will go through that process again. I'm not sure I was as methodical as I needed to be.
Yeah, and don't use the same USB port. Try a different port. Maybe you get a problem with the port.
Yeah, I had that's one of my theories too. So,
okay.
I was in the car and I listened to you guys on a regular basis, and it popped into my head. Geez, I should call you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you did, and hopefully we can get your printer working again.
Yeah, so some of the forums I've been unsuccessful with, they basically, you get some information and the people said, okay, I tried what you suggested unsuccessfully. So,
yeah.
And then you get the ones where it's still not working 6 months later. So, if I'm unsuccessful, can I just go to your website and see if you guys can help me out through that?
Yeah, you can send us an email at GetHelp, and we'll try to help you with some further ideas. Just give us the information of the things that you tried.
Does this laptop have network capability?
Oh, yes.
Is it plugged in?
Yes.
How about connecting?
The only problem that's happening right now is the printer and laptop just are not communicating.
Right. I think Bob is getting, can the printer be networked?
Yes, the printer can be networked. I have not gone down the path yet.
Okay.
So if you got a problem with your USB and you can't fix it that way, if you can network it, you can still get in and use that printer.
Right.
And understood. It might be easier, actually, and less work.
Yeah, as is a network printer, put the printer on the network and see if it sees it.
Right, right.
So if you know the IP...
When I first got these... that was something I was thinking of doing, and all I heard from others is that was a nightmare. So,
well, that's why we get paid the big bucks, Bob. That. Sorry. That's why we get the big bucks.
Hey, I heard that. I did hear that about you.
So if you go and go into your control panel,
yeah,
okay, yep. And into your devices and printers, and create a new port. If you know the IP address of the printer, create a new port, okay? And
yep.
with the IP address of the printer.
All right.
And then go into the printer's property under ports and find the new port that you created and check that and change the port from USB to your TCP/IP port.
Right.
Okay. I think I can work through that.
All right. Yeah, a couple things to try, Bob. You're welcome.
All right. Take care.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Also, the caller, Beth. Who called in from stores. Beth, we did find an article on your specific, well, Bob did, on your specific satellite dating back to 2013 that actually has a specific answer to a problem with the keyboard that you described, which both, I didn't think there was even
well,
a chance
of that. Well, there was a few
that.
Keys that weren't working.
Yeah.
And then they go through the process of how to fix it on a Toshiba satellite.
So, yeah. So you might, Beth, try that as well if plugging in a USB external keyboard doesn't work. give that a shot. So we're always looking. We're always trying for you guys. Even after we give you the answers, we double check ourselves to see if we can give you more. Let's go to Al and Avon next. Hey, Al.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I got a new phone, and I got a couple questions pertinent to this phone.
All right.
I also got a new laptop, and with it, I threw on a McAfee Live Safe.
Mm-hmm.
And the price of 20-something bucks, I got three different devices to use it on.
All right.
So I put one on this phone.
Okay.
My question is, I keep getting critical notifications. You got a bunch of important ones, but critical's now starting to pop up. Help us protect you 24/7.
Mm.
Bottom line is, I listened to your advice and I got Data Saver on.
Yeah.
Which seems to bring my bill down to like $2 a month with this phone.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's kind of irritating where this thing wants to run 24/7, and it says here, this app needs to run so you can get instant protection from threats.
Yeah.
Now, if this phone is off in the middle of the night in my desk, right. why do I need to run it and waste the battery?
You don't.
So why am I getting a critical notification?
From McAfee, you mean?
Yeah.
It depends on what they're trying to sell you.
You're right. Okay. Yeah. So bottom line is that there's no ignore button on here for that one.
I think you can go into the settings and turn off the notification for that McAfee.
Can I put it just specifically, or is that...
Yeah, I think you can drill right down to the app under your notifications.
All right, I will find that.
Yep. Yeah, just tell it to pound sand. I mean, the chances are low. Obviously, the chances are zero when your phone is off that you're going to be impacted by anything.
Right. And it runs a scan every time I turn it on in the morning. So if there's anything nefarious, they'll find it there, supposedly.
They're just saying, hey, I can't see you, Al. I need you to connect. I need you to turn on the internet. And all of a sudden, they're going to start cranking up your data usage.
Yeah,
in the background.
It's ridiculous.
It's almost like they get a piece of the action from whoever your carrier is.
It's like, right. It's like these apps are the root cause of many, many sins in this whole mobile system.
Oh yeah, the more they can use data, the more they can consume, and the more they can figure out what you're doing, what you're buying, where you're going.
I remember when the battle was on between Google and Apple, and Apple reached 100,000 and the banners were flying.
Mm-hmm.
100,000 today, you wish it went back to that.
100,000 what?
Apps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now it's what? Millions, right?
Yeah, every time Dick and Harry's writing a map.
Yeah.
An app of some kind.
And one last question.
Yeah.
Mobile hotspots. It says for me to use them, Comcast supposedly has 3 million around the country.
Mm-hmm.
But they want me to turn the Data Saver off to connect to these.
Well, that makes no sense because
it doesn't. That's why I'm asking the geniuses.
Yeah, you want to connect to the Wi-Fi hotspots that are out there, and so mobile hotspots might be different than an actual Wi-Fi hotspot. So that's maybe why they want you to turn it off. So don't turn it off.
No, they want me to turn the Data Saver off.
Right. Right. To connect to a mobile hotspot, but
right.
You want to connect to static hotspots. Those are that are offered by, your cable connections from all over. So I would avoid doing that. Don't worry about it, Al. Just keep your Data Saver on. Keep your money in your pocket, and you should be fine there.
Okay, so that's where I got confused. Then a mobile hotspot
is different than a regular Wi-Fi hotspot you'd find in McDonald's.
Ah, okay. That's where I was getting confused. Okay.
Yeah. All right, now I gotta go.
Thank you.
You're welcome,
bye-bye.
Sir. Bye bye. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Lessie's going to come in with Healthy Rounds, and he'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And then the Sox are playing in London against the Yankees. Go Sox, right, Matt? Matt's not listening. We're going to go to your calls. I'm going to go talk to Paul in Ocala, Florida. What's going on, Paul?
Good morning. How's everybody today?
Doing fine. How are you, sir?
Good. Appreciate your show.
Thanks.
I picked up a TP-Link power line adapter, and I hooked it up, and it's terrific. My router's in one room, and 50-something feet away is through a couple of walls, past through a big-screen TV is the computer in the garage.
Yep.
And so I plugged the adapter in, set it up here, brought it over there. I'm getting 80 megs down in the office, and I'm getting 74 megs down through house wiring. It's absolutely fantastic.
Isn't that neat? I mean, the electric companies could almost offer us internet soon as well, using that same technology. So
well, the question I have, though, is that I'm using OpenDNS.
Yep.
And this particular model that I'm using has Wi-Fi as well. I can get the Wi-Fi signal, but I think there's some settings on the DHCP or whatever settings that I need to change in order to get the internet. I can go to the periphery of the house. I can get a good signal. And you don't need it. I'm just not getting internet through it.
Yeah, so you need to properly connect that TP link to your Wi-Fi system so that it can broadcast and kind of piggyback that signal. Can it maybe not see your Wi-Fi now? Do you have a Wi-Fi system, or does it offer Wi-Fi on its own? Because if it did on its own, you would already have it, right? Because you already have internet right to that device. So the question is, does the device take the signal that's coming over with the 72 megabit speed you're getting and offer its own Wi-Fi hotspot, or is the device having to see your existing Wi-Fi hotspot and drag that as well? I don't know. Do you know?
Absolutely not. Otherwise, they would have said that. That's what I'm going to have to find out then. I mean, it's possible, again. Would OpenDNS make it a little bit muddier? Would it cloud the
eyes? No. Because your DNS signal, do you have a router in there now, Paul? In your home that you control?
Yes.
So you've just told your router, hand out the OpenDNS IPs, right?
Yes.
So it's not going to muddy anything. That's not even part of the equation. The problem is, does that TP-Link offer its own hotspot that is serviced by the 72 meg powered connection, or must it drag the Wi-Fi signal and repeat it on the same SSID? And that's the big question. So you'd have to check the manual on that. Bob, I probably is looking, I'm sure, right now to see if he can try to help you. But it should be either you turn on, flip a switch, turn on the Wi-Fi that it's offering, or you have to have it see the other Wi-Fi network. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, okay.
I'm not positive. It depends on the existing. Yeah, I'm reading here about an article that was posted that Bob had sent over. It does seem to extend your Wi-Fi signal. So
that's why I thought that I would be able to, when I received, when I found my SSID, I figured, okay, then I'm good. I got a good, strong signal. I mean, like a minus 20-something dBm and all that, and I'm thinking, fine.
Yeah.
And then when I try to use it for internet, I don't get it.
Well, somehow your power line has to be connected to the internet. So if it's just one outlet to the other outlet, that gives you from point A to point B, but that's still got to be connected to the internet.
To the router. We're assuming you've done that, right, Paul?
Yes, it's connected to the router. I had to bring both the adapter and the extender into the same room and sync them, and it was
right. And the adapter's now connected hard to the router, right?
Yes.
Okay, we have to ask these silly questions because, believe it or not, some people may not think that. Okay, so you've got that going. If it sees the SSID, it sounds like you're almost like 80% there.
I think I am. That's why I called you for the other 20%.
Well, if I set this exact thing up, I'd be like, oh, yeah, you got to flip this switch and modify that little setting. I don't know exactly where in this configuration you've made an error. Clearly, uh-huh. You've made an error. If you do a search, you actually can bring down an app. There's a Ubiquiti app that we like that you can see if, let me see the Ubiquiti app, what it's called, Wi-Fi Man. It's a free app from Ubiquiti. And if you bring up Wi-Fi Man down to your phone and go ahead and search the SSIDs that, that are available, you might find that this TP-Link is available. It's just the wrong SSID.
Okay, I just noticed something. I'm looking at this paperwork, and I think what I have done is I've used the adapter, and I think the adapter to the extender, and I think I have the extender connected to the router and the adapter.
Well, that'll do it. You hooked it up backwards.
I think I did. I'm looking at the paperwork. I'm thinking, oh, the picture looks different on one side of the paper than the other.
Oh, you can't trust these. I hate these pictures. I mean, I try to set up a gazebo, and they have just pictures. And you can't have a guy like me setting up a gazebo just by pictures. It's a bad idea. So, yeah.
It's a long way from insert tab A and slot B.
Yeah.
Stuff together.
Yeah, so that's what happened. You've got it backwards, kid.
Okay. I'm glad I called because at least it made me look at the paperwork again, and I think I got it now then.
Glad to help you. Hope that works.
I appreciate your show, and stay warm up there.
Yeah, we are. Thanks, Paul.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. All right. That's why Bob asked that silly question. You had him ask, is it plugged in right? I mean, nope. That's okay, though. We're all human. Let's go to Matt in Glastonbury. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, hi. I'm interested. I've heard you say before as far as upgrading the Windows 10 to have newer computers, and I wondered what you thought. I have a late vintage 2012, two Dell Inspirons, both one's an i5, one's an i7. And then I have a Latitude i5 from 2012 also.
So 7 years old.
Yeah, but I mean they, you know, yeah. I mean I put an SSD in the Inspiron i7.
Yep.
And I have a couple of SSDs that I was thinking of putting in the other Inspiron that has an i5 and then the Latitude that's an i5. But
all right, well, I'll give you our basic rule of thumb. The basic rule of thumb that I've been trying to go by is 4 years and younger, try to upgrade. But 5 years and older, don't bother.
And why do you say that? I mean, is it going to be too slow? Or
your processor may not work. The boys at Microsoft and Intel have gotten together and have made the operating system impossible to operate on a certain generation of CPU. Isn't
really?
That nice of them? Yep.
Huh. So if I tried one of them just for the heck of it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's basically $100, $110, whatever, for a Windows license.
Yeah.
And versus, you know, if I bought a, you know, equivalent laptop.
Right,
for four,
right.
Or five.
Yeah.
And if I try, what would I, when you say it's, doesn't work. I mean,
it may not even load if it's not going to support the processor, period, so you'd know rather quickly.
Okay.
Or it will work sort of, where you're going to have network drivers that don't work, video drivers that don't work, your sound won't work, your mouse or keyboard won't work.
Huh.
Or it'll work great. Yeah. All the above.
So it's hit and miss, basically.
Yeah, it's too old for me to give you any confidence in that upgrade. So I've always angled, I understand your point, but it's served its purpose. You know, you've gotten your amount of time out of those machines. And even if it did work, it's going to – computers just break your heart every day.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, I got that. That Eric was telling me it wasn't going to work. I got it working. I'm running. And all of a sudden it just kicks. You know, the motherboard goes, the power supply goes, and then you're going to be like, geez, I'm out $110 in an afternoon.
Right.
You know, just buy the current system, and hopefully it'll give you another 5 or 6 years of service.
Yeah.
That's where I angle.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know if I could ask one other thing as far as router. I have an older router, too. It's a Netgear, whatever it was, the earlier 5 gigahertz.
Oh, gosh, yeah, that thing is done.
Yeah, well, that's what I was wondering. Are there new? I mean, I see all this stuff, AC and other things. I mean, is it worth getting a new router
every time?
You betcha.
Yeah, only because unless all your wireless devices are still 8 years old, if they're current, like if you have a current smartphone or current anything that comes into that network, you're giving them speeds that are so slow wirelessly. It's not worth it. So, and the security, right? The 5G, that machine has not been updated for a very long time. 802,
yeah.
He's talking about 802.11G,
yeah.
Right? That's what it is?
Right.
I see.
And, yeah.
We want to go. We want
G is 300. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty old.
Pretty old.
Yeah.
So get a new one.
N is 300. G is only like 54.
Yeah. Slow.
Yeah. So it really would make a difference.
Yeah, security-wise, too. I mean, you're probably having a security update that. I mean, the Chinese are probably already inside that.
Seriously?
Well, I kind of joke, but I'm not joking.
Right, I know, yeah.
If you look at Reuters just did an article about how the Chinese have been hacking and getting into big companies like IBM with their cloud. They literally went through, there's a whole, we'll post the Reuters story. It's, I'm not even going to talk about how scary it is, but they're literally have been hacking these big, big companies through their clouds for quite a while. So for them, we've had issues with hackers into firewalls recently, with like the Russians going into these older firewalls because we don't upgrade anything.
Yeah.
And these guys are, think about it. The Russians, they're using this old stuff. This is what they have. They're running this stuff because we've thrown it away. So they plug it in, they hack it, and then they come and connect to folks like you who are still running it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of thing that you got to be careful with. So I'm kind of half joking, but I'm really not. Because if your password is admin or your password.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Oh, what is your password?
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So I didn't do any to spend the higher end on those routers, like, because it seems like they're pretty expensive, the new ones.
$250 would be a good number.
Really?
Wow. I mean, if you look at the one I recommend a lot is the Linksys ACS 1900. I'm not even sure if it's still available. That's what I'm running.
Okay.
But there's others out there that you can get in that same range, Cisco Linksys flavor. I want to say I spent about $200 on that thing.
Yeah.
Works great, and it's current enough, and it gets updates still.
Yeah.
I'll be probably changing it soon.
Yeah.
But right. You should spend some good money. Basically, it's the firewall. It's the deadbolt between you and the planet.
Yeah.
Without a firewall, your internet company is right up against your computers, which means your bad guys are right up against your systems.
Right.
So you want to make sure that's at least secure with a good password. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah.
That AC 1900 is $152 at Best Buy.
Oh, good. They've come down a lot.
Yeah, $179.99 on the Linksys site.
The ACS 1900?
ACS.
Yeah, that's the exact one I have.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that's good to know, too. Yeah.
All right, Matt.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
You too. Good luck.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break and get back to more of your calls. We're here till 11 o'clock. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. Then Dr. Leslie will be in with a healthy round, so stick around with that. Real quick thing I wanted to bring up, Target. Target forgot how to practice capitalism last weekend, believe it or not. If you were in Target stores a couple of times for a couple of hours, they were not able to process any transactions. Yes, not just one store, not two, not 20, globally. They couldn't process a transaction. They literally could not practice capitalism. Why is this? Well, because they don't seem to subscribe to something that was created in the 1970s called distributed computing, whereby you could actually process and have your functions happen on local servers and then batch those information, you know, those transactions up to the mothership if you want to later. They are connected, obviously, by one omnipresent connection known as
the cloud.
I would suspect, yeah. And it was down. I mean, when I was a kid, I could hop on my bike and ride to Caldor. Yes, there was something called the Caldor way back when. And I buy my candy bar with what? Hard currency. I whip out my quarter. Yes, it only cost a quarter. And you buy whatever you're buying. They could practice capitalism all day in the dark. They could have a power outage and sell me a candy bar. Now, you connect to the cloud, and globally, your entire company can't practice capitalism. Cost them $50 million. Some IT guy's head's got to roll because, I mean, we work with a large retailer.
Look at the money they saved. I mean,
yeah.
<you know. laughs>
We work with a large retailer in our client base, and in every one of their stores, they can practice capitalism all day long if they're not connected to the internet. Come on, guys. How do you not be able to practice capitalism?
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't even take cash.
That's my point. You couldn't do anything. They're literally telling people you can come in and browse, but we can't process anything.
You can't buy anything. Look, but you can't buy.
Yeah. I'm not making it up. I'll put the link up there for you. It is kooky crazy in this day and age. Let's go to, but it's progress. Progress right out of business. Let's go to Barbara in Tallinn, Mass. I didn't even know there was a Tallinn, Mass. Barbara, how are you?
I'm doing fine. And you?
Good.
I have a computer problem. I get a message every couple of days from Firefox.
Yeah.
And it tells me Firefox is already running but not responding. The old Firefox process must be closed to open a new window. And
yep.
Then I have either close Firefox or cancel.
Yep.
And I've been hitting close, and it keeps coming back every couple of days.
Have you rebooted?
I shut the computer down every night.
Okay. Have you updated your Firefox in a while?
It tells me I'm running the latest version.
All right.
Do you have Chrome?
Do you have another browser?
I have Chrome, and I also have Internet Explorer.
And obviously Chrome works fine. Somehow you're double-clicking or running a process on Firefox twice or three times or something. It's hanging up on your machine. How old is the machine?
13.
13 years old or year 2013?
2013.
Okay. It's getting up there. I'm not exactly sure what's causing it off the top of my head. Something obviously is happening where Firefox is hanging. I guess all I can tell you is you have to keep closing the process, which I know seems like a silly thing. Are you running Windows 7?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I know. I have to update to 10 pretty soon.
Yeah, and you're not going to do it on that computer anyways because of its age. Go ahead, Bob.
I have a fix that we can put on.
All right. Bob's got a fix that we can put up there for you.
Okay.
At ComputerTalkWithTab.com. We'll put a fix that you can try. We're not promising anything, but it might work.
Okay. It's just annoying every couple of days.
I hear you. I hear you, Barbara. Welcome to computing, right?
Yeah. I mean, what else can you do?
Exactly. Well, we'll put a link and you can try something else. All right?
Okay, great. All right. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you for calling, Barb.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live. I want to thank Matt Miller for calling in and telling about his SimSwap horror story. If you missed it, it is on the podcast over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. We will podcast it for you. You can catch it. It's a scary story.
See you next week.